Alexis, neurosis is not becoming on a young woman. Well, what are we supposed to do? Are you just gonna, like, abandon us here? Alexis, let's not count our poultry before it's incubated.
Schitt's Creek heads to the Big Apple this week as Johnny, Roland, and Stevie make a game-changing pitch to a venture capitalist firm. But will it play out in their favor? Back home, the family nervously anticipates what it might mean if Rosebud Motels go nationwide, which leads to contemplations of the Roses leaving Schitt's Creek for NYC, much to Patrick's surprise. Polish a briefcase and suit up as we unpack Season 6, Episode 12, The Pitch.
Batter up, everyone. Get ready for the pitch, because tonight's episode going to have some dollar bills flowing your way.
Stephanie, that was so clever. Batter up.
Batter up. Dun, 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 dun.
How clever. Dun, dun,
dun. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody.
Welcome, welcome.
Season 6, episode 12, The Pitch, or as we're calling it, Let's Not Count Our Poultry Before It's Incubated.
Steph,
another delightful Moiraism.
Do you remember in COVID when we thought like shutting the world down for 3 weeks was going to cure it all? And then we were like, oh, well, let's extend it another few weeks. And so I made a Moira post in my Moira costume saying, let's not count our poultry before it's incubated, when I'm saying we shouldn't come out of quarantine.
A premonition.
Little did I know we would be quarantining 2 years later.
2 years. Literally. I remember, God, it was like, we're going to be closing schools for 2 weeks. And then two more
like
weeks.
That was just going to fix it. Okay. Yeah. Well, live and learn. I guess we all did. Definitely.
We did.
But out of such chaos came this beautiful podcast. So here we are.
Who has time amidst all this chaos, though, Katie?
Who has time amidst all of this chaos? Well, we did. And we do.
We did. And we do. And here we are. How's everybody doing? Coming up on the holidays, it's, as we're recording, only 10 days till Christmas, and we're in the middle of Hanukkah as well. So happy everything, folks. Actually, I think Hanukkah has just ended.
It's ended? I thought it just started.
No, it started.
I don't know.
It started a week ago.
Not good with
we were in Florida holidays. And they had a giant menorah, and I think it was on day three.
Oh, it was lit up. All filled up.
It was lit. Hanukkah was lit.
Hanukkah was lit, as it should be.
Dreidel, we made you out of clay.
I know very little about the Hanukkah traditions, to be honest.
I should know more. Yeah, I've got a couple of Jewish friends and Jewish students.
Okay.
There's not quite as much fanfare as Christmas. Christmas likes to steamroll every other winter holiday.
Oh, for sure.
But I've resorted to, and Fox News will hate me for this, but I have resorted to saying happy holidays because I feel like it's more.
There's a lot. It's not even just Hanukkah and Christmas.
Christmas falls under that umbrella. Like, so Kwanzaa, get wrecked. Happy holidays, everybody.
Kwanzaa, New Year's, Thanksgiving. You can say it from
Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all the holidays.
I feel like you could start saying that on October 31st, Halloween through.
Is a holiday.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That's a long holiday season.
Oh, yeah, it is. I need to finish Christmas shopping. We're coming up to Michigan in like a week.
A week, so, yeah. What happened this week? Anything exciting? Oh, you said you did some wedding stuff.
Yeah, I didn't give a wedding update last week. I wore my fake ring to Florida. We went to Fort Lauderdale.
My
$10 travel ring, and that worked out very great. But I was excited to come home and put on my real ring by the end of it. But it was nice just to not worry about it.
You sound like such a diva.
I am.
I was so excited to come home to my diamonds.
I think I'm nicer when I wear my actual
diamonds. Are a girl's best friend.
They are, as Marilyn Monroe said. And actually, the hotel we stayed at, Marilyn Monroe was a guest at one point. And that was kind of a cool little fun fact.
How was the train ride?
The train was fine. Miami could get wrecked. I don't care for Miami at all. I at least don't care for Miami Airport, which we had to fly out of, and that was terrible at 5 a.m. But we stayed in Fort Lauderdale for the most part, and that was very nice and fun. We saw a lot of giant McMansions that looked very much in line with what the Roses used to be familiar with, and some giant yachts as well. So I got a little bit of a glimpse into their formal life.
Speaking of that, we were just talking about the show Succession, but in like a 6 degrees separation that is separated from Schitt's Creek, in that Kieran Culkin is in Succession, who is brothers to Macaulay Culkin, who was son to Catherine O'Hara.
There you go.
And I don't know if you saw this, but a few years ago, somebody took the Succession music and the Schitt's Creek intro and made a mashup. Do you remember seeing that?
No.
It's like they remade this. Yeah, they remade the Succession intro with the Schitt's Creek mansion and characters. And Dan Levy even shared it. I don't know who did it. We could probably find it somewhere, but it was a huge, it was a cool mashup. Like,
I had binge watched Succession earlier this fall, and now Katie,
we're in the middle. Yep.
I loved it, but definitely can picture the Roses as the Roy family before their demise.
I think the Schitt's Creek version, you're right. It's like the Roys.
It's like a prequel.
As the Roys. And also Schitt's Creek takes a more happy tone.
It does. But they had to have their fall from grace.
Yeah. So. Another thing.
Just getting a glimpse at that lifestyle. It's like,
I just hijacked your Florida thing anyway. I just thought of that connection and that.
Yeah,
intro.
I mean, I'm sure there were some Roys and some Roses on those yachts. for sure.
Did you know the working title for Succession was Murdoch?
Because it's loosely based on Fox
News. Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch.
I learned that on Jeopardy a few weeks ago. I think we already talked about that too, actually.
Yeah, it also has some Covfefe vibes as well. Covfefe. That's as close as I'm going to say the
Covfefe. What is that?
Gosh, Catherine.
What am I missing?
Don't you remember Covfefe?
Covfefe. Covfefe. Wasn't it Covfefe?
I don't know.
It's Covfefe. Covfefe.
Who's on first? Anyways, rich bitch families is what it reminds me of, real and fictional. Oh my God. Are we going to start over?
Okay. We're good. Just roll. Carry on.
Well, anyways, we did a poll 10 minutes ago. Do we have any results?
No results. I asked for, remember we said we were going to ask people to stump us with riddles. So I made a last ditch effort today to do that. When nobody answered me, I asked ChatGPT.
Okay.
And like three of them were ones I gave you. Mm. So not so original, ChatGPT. No. But I did come across this one that I liked. The more you have of it, the less you see. What is it?
Blindness.
Well, you're pretty close because the answer is darkness.
Okay.
So you've got the vibe right. So thanks, ChatGPT.
My second guess was going to be cataracts.
Thanks. That's very true too. Thanks ChatGPT for participating in our poll, our one last ditch effort poll. I do have I saw a trailer today for a new movie from one of our shit stars.
Yeah.
The movie name is Argyle, and Catherine O'Hara is a star in this movie. She plays the main character's mother. Bryce Dallas Howard is a spy novelist. And somehow her actual fiction writings get her wrapped up in a real world of espionage. So it kind of looked like a fun.
Is it like a Murder, She Wrote or
kind of like a Knives Out feeling? Ah. You know who did it is the person who wrote the movies, the Kingsman movies. Mm. So like
I never saw those.
Oh, my God. Stephanie, you would like those. Okay. You should definitely. They're like a smarter spy movie, if you will. Like not like stupid.
Not like a James Bond.
Not like blowing things up and just doing things for fun. But they actually have some, you know, thought to them.
Right.
So this was by the same director and kind of had. But anyway, Catherine O'Hara was in it. That's the only thing I saw in the news this week.
She's been busy.
She has been.
Yeah. Katie, I also wanted to tell you, I signed up to go to an escape room.
You did?
It's actually on Christmas Eve. So a week from when this episode comes out, I'm going to be meeting up with my cousin Jenny and her son. He doesn't listen to this. He's 10 years old. But we're going to be asking him to be in the wedding officially because we didn't get a chance to see them at Thanksgiving.
Right, right.
So we're going to meet up with them for lunch and then we're going to go to an escape room, which I still think we should do one together.
Okay.
But
I'm excited to hear about this.
So we're going to a pirate themed escape room.
Max will probably like that too.
Sushant will as well.
Oh, that's right. He's got this boat fetish.
He's got a boat fetish. Yeah.
A ship, a boat, and a
pirate fetish. So, we're doing that next week.
You know where you guys need to go? Treasure Island in Vegas.
Well, when we were in Florida, we went to a mermaid and mimosas brunch. It was like a underwater mermaid show, which was like 4 out of 5 stars, I would say. Okay. Like, it's impressive. Their costumes were like whatever, but like. And I definitely got overserved on mimosas.
As you should.
I regretted it at 1 a.m. the next morning. But
that seems late. I would have regretted it much sooner than that.
I'm surprised I lasted that long, to be honest. But it was interesting. It wasn't quite as like fantastical. They were kind of like bragging about, we don't use nose plugs. We don't use breathing anything. And I was like, maybe you should. Because like they had to go up for air a lot, which was understandable. But then like. It shortens the show, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And they were coming around like, anyone want photos with the mermaids? And we were like,
You got to pay like $25 for the print.
I was just like, I'm good. I'm here eating my pancakes and drinking my mimosas. I'm
probably a lot of kids would like that. Like, yes. I'll get a photo with the mermaid, but we're adults.
Yes. We went to the mimosas mermaid show, which was kid friendly. They also do a burlesque mermaid show at night, which is 21 plus, which... Maybe some shells are popping off.
Slip of the nip.
Who knows?
One last thing unrelated to Schitt's Creek. I, in the middle of the night last night, had an epiphany about wedding ceremony topics.
Oh.
And I did not write it down. And I was laying awake thinking about this for a while. And I'm, you know how when you're half conscious and you're like, I really should be writing this down.
So you need a dream journal.
This is really good. Like, I'm going to use this and do this. And I was like, nah, I got this. It'll come back to me. This is very clear in my head. And it did not immediately come back to me until my drive home from work today. And then it resurfaced.
You had a huzzah
moment. I was like, okay. Now that I've had this in my waking conscious, it's solidified now. But I've been inspired by something as far as like a talking, like a path, if you will.
Okay. So. Well, do you know, Katie, reminder to everyone out there, Katie is my officiant. I have already thought about DIYing you a zip tie gold crown a la Moira.
A bishop's hat or whatever.
No, this is her
her hairpiece.
Her premiere hairpiece. Mm. Premiere episode, simply the best.
Cute.
Did you know that was zip ties?
I did not, but they bought it on Etsy.
And it was like gold spray painted zip ties on a headband. Super simple. I'm like,
that seems way safer than what I thought it was. I could do that. Because I thought that was like metal sticky spikes, things that were going to stab Johnny in the eye.
I'm like, I think I'll make Katie a nod to Moira. You can wear it during rehearsal if you want to.
Yes, I would love to.
So I'm going to work on that. But yeah, I'm excited to hear your pre-thoughts for
ceremony.
Oh, I don't get to hear.
Well, I don't know. We need to discuss that.
Yeah, we do. We need to schedule.
Because you're a control freak. And Crystal and Dan just had their friend write it, but they did not know. They didn't know.
I think I'd like to know like 60%. I can't even know 60%.
I can give you like bullet points.
Okay.
I think that's
fine.
I think like a bullet point.
Nothing will be inappropriate.
Nothing will be inappropriate. I'm more adult than that.
Save all the jokes. I don't want.
Right. That's what I mean. I don't want to be like giving away all my good content.
No, not at all.
Anyway, I had an epiphany about what the main theme should be. And I am very happy with this epiphany. So,
well, I can't wait. Only like 140 more days or something.
Can we actually talk about Schitt's Creek tonight?
Okay.
I did start a timer. We're 14 minutes in.
We've done worse.
Sorry, guys.
We've only got a couple more of these left.
It's true. You only have to listen to us rant and rave for a couple more episodes.
Well, yeah, back to the episode, or let's start the episode, I guess. Like I said,
meanwhile, my wine's almost gone before we start the episode.
You might need to be a good night at our sponsor ad. Season 6, episode 12, The Pitch, Batter Up. Here we go batter to up. New York City. The Big Red Delicious, as Moira.
I love when she said that. Yes, so good. So good.
So we're going to start with the cold open. This episode is very full circle in how it starts and how it ends, because the whole family is waiting out front of the motel. Johnny is suited up per usual, but so is Stevie. She looks
looking
amazing
fancy
in this suit. They are off to the big pitch, but their car is here. However, Roland is 15 minutes late, which has Johnny nervously pacing back and forth, saying how they aren't going to take them seriously if they're half an hour late to this meeting. And Stevie tries to tell him just to calm down. You're making me nervous. And I just chugged a bottle of CBD oil. So she really.
She needed to like lower it.
She
needs lower the heart rate or whatever.
Exactly. David reminds Johnny that they have to get to work at some point. So clearly they've been waiting 15 minutes. So clearly they're ready for this whole bon voyage departure celebration to be over with. But I'm like, David, don't you? You aren't the one to talk about getting back to work, because in 10 minutes, we're going to see him taking a 2-hour break. For
7 breaks today.
Yes. But Moira reminds him that we are all here to support, or not to support, to.
She changes it.
She says, what does she say? She says, Johnny and Stevie need all the help, support that they can get. And that gets a look from Johnny like, hey. So. Clearly, they need a little bit of pumping up to go on this pitch. And Patrick mentions, well, it's probably a good sign if they're sending you to New York on a jet, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That grabs Alexis's attention, though. She wasn't aware of that.
Can I come?
Can I go? And apparently David already asked and was told no. But Stevie, who, as we know, is nervous, volunteers her spot if any of them want to go instead of her. But Johnny assures her, no, partner, you're going to be great. Just then, the shits finally pull up in their rust bucket and they load up into the car. Alexis gives Stevie a quick note to make sure that they give her dad plenty of booze on the flight, which I don't think that's sound advice.
And also, is it really a sure thing just because it's a private jet, there's going to be booze?
Right. Well, I think it's a sure thing that there'll be booze. I don't think it's a sure thing that they'll get the deal, which is kind of what Patrick is implying. Roland gets out of the truck with a briefcase and a suitcase. Did you notice he's got a suitcase?
I did. He's got like an overnight bag.
And I'm like, why? You are going to be back in 12 hours or less.
But maybe he wants to be in comfort plain clothes on his way home.
Maybe he brought clothes for the club to celebrate afterwards. Some belly shirts. You never know.
Or just sweatpants for comfort.
Maybe. He does make a joke that he's dressed up like Johnny and says that it's one of Johnny's suits and it fits him miraculously. It fits him because he's way more athletic than Johnny is.
I beg to differ.
Yeah. A prosthetic belly would suggest otherwise. And then Jocelyn is handing out a bunch of homemade posters, which remind me of the campaign posters.
Do you think her students made these ones?
I think so. Or she definitely like raided the art supplies in the art classroom
in
her
the school. Yeah.
But they're all cute. They say things like, go, you know, Team Rosebud. And there's lots of glitter and fanfare. So as they're getting into the limo or the SUV, Johnny tells the boys, you know, come this time tomorrow, you might be the official supplier of Rosebud Hotels across the continent. So all of North America is what they're looking to branch out into.
Obviously, David didn't cancel his account after that poison
obviously
oak debacle.
Not, no, they've been reinstated, or maybe they're on probation.
Great. trial run.
Moira says goodbye to my conquistadors and we are all cheering you on.
Moira has like a small role in this episode, but every time she's on point, like her, her comedy is on point this episode.
Yeah. Alexis is like, just wave. Just let's get on with this. They all wave as they drive off. Lots of little claps and woohoos as they make their way to the Big Apple. So, Katie, I think we'll start with, we'll stay in town and then we'll fly out to New York on the private jet.
All right.
So we're going to jump around between Moira, Alexis, and David because they all kind of intertwine while they're nervously waiting for the results of this meeting. So next we see Alexis catching her mom in what looks like to be a packing frenzy. But she says it's just some light reorganization. It's not premature. You know, she's not leaping to conclusions or anything. She just doesn't want to be caught in another forceful evacuation. And Alexis is like, well, who would be evacuating you? And she says she would be evacuating herself if the deal goes through. So it's just precautionary.
Just wants to be ready. Ready for any possibility, right?
And it's like, well, why would that mean you have to move? But she mentions that the investment firm offices are in New York. So naturally, that's where they would set up their new headquarters, which I don't know that that's necessarily the case with capital investments. I mean,
you set up wherever you are, right?
You set up wherever you are, or at least that's what I've learned from Shark Tank. Like, you don't have to move to where the shark is.
Right. Right.
They'll just swim over to your part of the ocean, you know? Right. Like,
they've got the money in the jets. You don't have that. That's right. Still their money in the end.
So that seems a little bit
presumptuous.
And presumptuous. But Alexis is outraged that they are making plans to move to New York without her. And is like, well, what were you going to do? When were you going to tell us? Are you just going to pack up and leave in the middle of the night? And I love Moira tells her that neurosis is not becoming on a young woman. And Alexis wants to know, well, what's supposed to happen to David and I? And this is when we get our title. Well, let's not count our poultry before it's incubated. And basically, don't jump to conclusions. But that's exactly what Moira is doing exactly. By all of this pre-packing.
Putting the carriage in the wake of the mare again. Exactly. Once again.
Really, she should focus her energy on pre-packing those wigs. Because we know that that's going to take
time and
energy. Yeah. So Alexis starts mulling over this new development. Gets kind of excited at the prospect and also considers how Intraflix is also based in New York City. And apparently they've been discussing further working relationships.
They wanted to chat with her
after the Crows movie success. And Moira is delighted by this. Felicitations, Alexis. They get so excited and this would be a great opportunity for her.
I mean, this is crazy considering last week she was just talking about how she needed to get out of this small town. And now... Yes. Okay, so Interflix wants to talk. Her mom and dad might be moving to New York.
Put her on retainer, or she could do some like PR work for them. Who knows? So now she's thinking about this New York move as well, and they're hugging each other, very excited at a very real prospect in their minds, more real than it's ever been before, of getting out of here, which again is like, that's where it's like the thorn in our side a little bit, because in this episode, Johnny's pitch is about the pride he has in this town and in the motel and these people.
And he wouldn't trade his experience for the world.
Like. And these hoes just want to get the hell out of here. No offense, Moira and Alexis, but truly, like,
At
the end of the day, everything they've been through.
It's like, it's feeling backwards, like a step
it's
backwards.
Feeling very
That's
backwards.
All.
Yes. This episode actually gives me a lot of anxiety, which we'll talk about as we get through it. So they're all geeked up at this idea that they might both have very real outs to get out of this town and move on to more exciting things. Next, we see David come back to the motel a little bit later. He's on a break, a.k.a. he forgot his phone, wallet, and keys.
Everything. To go to work.
Which that is Sushant's go-to checklist whenever we leave anywhere. It's phone,
keys,
wallet,
cell phone, right? That's what Joe says in that order. Keys, wallet, cell phone.
Yeah. He finds Alexis. She's already busy looking for apartments in New York City on her computer. And that throws him off because he doesn't know about
his Nobody plans. Told me.
Nobody told me. He gets all flustered. Well, who's moving? And, you know, what if the deal doesn't go through? He's being kind of pragmatic. But Alexis says, David, you would have no way of knowing this. But when a man sends a jet for you, that means he's interested. Trust me. And Tiger Woods. And she says, but don't worry, I've already got you covered because I'm looking for two-bedroom apartments. You're welcome. And David says, well, maybe me and my husband, thank you, David, for remembering your future husband, at least, don't want to share an apartment with you. But she says, well, good luck finding an affordable one-bedroom apartment that isn't in Atlantic City. I had to laugh at because... Atlantic City is like down in the Jersey Shore.
It's like a 2.5 hour drive from the city.
Right. Well, my boss right now, his partner, who is Italian, is moving to New Jersey.
Right.
He wants to live more in the New York City area, but where he's working, it's a little bit out of the city. So they are apartment hunting right now in Jersey, and it's very depressing.
It's impossible.
It is impossible. So I pulled up, I'm on a website called Rentop right now.
We've talked about real estate in New York in general, just like what my rent
used to be.
Well,
we need to talk about it again.
It's got
to
be even worse now.
So these are the current December 2023 rent statistics for the New York area.
Okay. So this is just the whole metropolitan, like city included? Or is this New Jersey, like suburb, like outskirts?
This is New York.
Okay, all right. I'm curious.
Let's see here. Yeah, when you get to New Jersey, it drops a little. So these, I would say strictly Manhattan is what we're looking at, what I think Alexis wants.
Yeah.
They are bridge and tunnel.
She doesn't want to like live in Brooklyn and eat a cronut, she said before.
So we are looking at Manhattan.
No, you're right. They're not averages. Bridge and tunnel people.
So for a studio, average rent is $3,300 a month. For a studio! For one bedroom, just $5 shy of $4,000. It's $3,995. A two bedroom is $5,092.
God. That seems low.
And it just goes up from there. But these bedrooms are tiny, I'm sure.
I'm on this like random small New York apartment TikTok every now and then that pops up in my feed, and it's these really cute places, don't get me wrong, that utilize their space really well and have cute lofts and all this stuff. Oh, Gramercy Park, $65.95 a month, like for a studio. And it's like, what? Like, well, also, how is it even up to code, half of them? Yeah. You know,
well, my boss's partner, like, they've looked at a couple of tiny one bedrooms, but like newer, nicer buildings, not great neighborhoods, like $3,600 a month for a tiny one bedroom. And my boss told his partner, he's like, I think you either need to reevaluate your neighborhood or raise your budget. I'm like, that's already so much
money. Your budget. Is he, I mean, maybe he's,
I pay. We'll repay $1,800 a month for our three-bedroom
house. It's a house.
On a hill.
It's a house. Our mortgage for our three-bedroom home with a two-car garage, a yard, and a pool is less than $1,200 a month.
Oh, my God.
In Michigan.
I was paying
more for that.
Isn't that always the way? Mortgages are always less than your rent.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
How do we survive? How does the world survive in these situations?
I don't know. Crazy.
Yours is a great deal, though. Like, it is. That's a great deal for a whole house in a metropolitan city, like a Cincinnati. Like, that's nice. That's a good, good find. Good find,
good spot.
Good on you, Stephanie.
Thank you. We are hoping in the next year we have very casually started house browsing, house hunting, but we need to start putting on our camouflage and doing some real hunting, because we don't want to rent forever. But at these prices,
it's just like, why not? If you're putting money somewhere, at least if you're not like renting, it's yours.
Build some equity.
It's an investment.
Yes, for sure. So anyways, who can imagine the budget that they are working with? Oh,
they're envisioning like a $10,000 apartment, I'm sure.
Something like that.
They have to be.
Craziness. So I just did a little research just to get some insight into current New York prices, which are astronomical.
Hi.
So David is now on the bandwagon and starts excitedly spiraling right along with Moira and Alexis, thinking about what it would mean for them to move their business. I'm like, where is Patrick in this conversation?
He is so oblivious to the fact that he's about to get married in this point in the game.
And he's even talking about like, you know, this could be great for us in terms of a new market, especially if we're going to supply all these for all these new motels. And they're like,
there's no motels in New York. Not like that.
No. Yeah, like this is not where you would have headquarters for a motel.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
There's no real estate for a motel. A motel takes up the most real estate.
We're talking New York.
One story.
Like that does not exist in New York City.
So next they're swooning over these apartment listings, and Alexis found a two bedroom where David and Patrick could have the room with a Murphy bed. But David insists that they would get the master bedroom as a couple. But Alexis says, well, no, David, you know, I have a lot of coats. I need that walk-in closet.
Oh boy.
And then they're going on about looking forward to seeing Broadway shows, mentions a revival of 12 Angry Men with Kerry Washington in it.
That was one of the trivia questions I lost out on.
Okay. Yep,
that one I will never forget again, because that was another one that lost me first place that night.
And there's a little joke here, because Alexis is like, I don't want to like, you know, dull your flame, but there's no way you're getting tickets to that show. Like, that's what she, it's not this
that's
whole
what's
other
dulling the flame
pipe dream. But she loves his enthusiasm. And Dave is like, I have to go back to work. I have to talk to Patrick about this. There's a lot to work out. You know, we have to think about decor and candle preferences if we're going to live together. And David's like, I don't want to get too excited, but I will definitely be putting my name in the ticket lottery for 12 Angry Men. Which, Katie, have you ever done a ticket lottery for shows?
No, not me.
I have only done it once in Chicago. My mom and I went just for like a weekend in, I don't know, this was years ago, but we were like, well, let's see what shows. Maybe we'll do a matinee or something. And we found out, I think from the box office, they were like, well, if you go to this mall right across the street, they do a ticket lottery every day at noon. And it was like quarter to noon. They're like, you can go over there, put your names in. It wasn't a busy day. It was like a Thursday or something. And mm-hmm. I think everyone who put their names in got tickets. Well, you had to buy them, but they were $25. So right. If they called your name, they walk you over to the box office, you get these tickets. So we got front row seats to Newsies for $25, which was really
cute.
Fun. And yeah, it was like a random weekday matinee, but still, it was cool. It was exciting. Whatever. And then as David's leaving to go back to work, Alexis does her most iconic hair flip. It almost looks like one of those boomerangs, because she's just constantly like flipping. And I recently saw a clip with Annie Murphy saying that this is one of her favorite Alexisisms.
And the hair flip?
This particular hair flip.
Okay.
And David is oh my godding as he leaves. So everyone is amped up, but poor Patrick is
blindsided.
Like, going to be blindsided. Yeah. So next we see Moira. She comes into the Jazzy Gals rehearsal and she's wearing this giant bow hairpiece. Like she's the gift that keeps on giving or something.
I am the gift.
And she sees all the ladies celebrating and there's these like farewell balloons. And she is very presumptuous and thinks it's Jocelyn who has spilled the beans about this New York deal going through, which hasn't even happened yet. And Moira assumes this is a departure party for her. And Jocelyn's trying to tell her that she's been mistaken. But Moira goes right in to cut this cake that says goodbye, Grace on it. And she's getting all the gals up to speed about the New York meeting, which Twyla is psyched to hear about. She's like, I wonder if we'll go to the M&M store, which
right in Times Square,
which makes me think of, well, we know that Twyla's been to Central Park, at least for the little town,
the Big Jazzy Voices Festival. Thing, yeah.
And I'm like, is that where she went? Was that her fondest memory of that trip, was going to the M&M store?
Let me just tell you, M&Ms are hella expensive in that store.
I'm sure
they're like $3 an ounce. Or something.
I don't
like
need
that.
Them to say anything special. I don't care what color they are.
It's not even that. Like, you can fill a bag of random, just mix your own colors, and it's outrageously expensive.
Yeah, I don't.
It smells
that.
Really good in there, though.
I bet. Do they have just the regular M&Ms or different flavors?
They have all the things, all of them.
Okay. Peanut butter flavor is my favorite.
I like peanut M&Ms myself.
No, I'm always disappointed when it's peanut M&Ms.
Oh. Yeah,
I don't like peanuts, but I do like peanut butter. That's just one of my quirks.
You know what the biggest letdown is? Regular M&Ms. Oh. If you like those, you're wrong.
So M&Ms are a go-to card game snack in my family. Oh, M&Ms or Chex Mix. Like, we're playing cards, we like to have snacks on the table. And this one time, my aunt, an M&M fell down her shirt as she was like grabbing him, and everyone was like, huh, like making fun of her. And then she's like, well, what do you think about this? And she reached in and grabbed the M&M, put it in the bowl, and then swirled it.
Oh, no.
And it's like, what are you going to do about that?
Classic. Oh, I love your aunt. Like, that's a classic
move.
She's
my godmother in the
show. That's a classic move, man. Yeah. That's great.
I think about that all the time when I have M&Ms.
That's great.
So yeah, this is not a party for Moira. This is a party for Grace.
Grace.
And Moira thought Grace was just referring to one of her many notable attributes. and tries to smooth over the icing with the knife that she just chopped into this cake.
We'll just wait till she gets here.
But Grace is already here. She's standing right behind her. I don't think we've ever known Grace's...
her name, really.
Her name. Oh, Grace, Moira says.
Of course you are.
Our timorous grinagogue, which I had to Google those words.
Please tell me what that means, because I was going to look that up.
Timorous means showing or suffering from nervousness, fear, or lack of confidence.
Okay, so anxious.
Anxious. And grinagogue is just someone who's always grinning. So she's...
our anxious smiler.
Our anxious smiler. And she says, I think I'll miss you most of all. Okay, you didn't know who she was 2 seconds ago.
Thanks.
And Jocelyn, always the realist, is wondering if this celebrating isn't just a little premature. Remember, this affects Jocelyn, too.
Yeah, she's got a stake in this.
She's got a stake in this. But Moira insists, John has decades on all of these young Wall Street guys, these investors. And Jocelyn says, well, I'm glad to hear that because I got a panic text from Roland with a bunch of exploding head emojis, which we'll figure out what that means in a little bit. And Moira thinks that those just mean that they're blowing people's minds.
They're blowing that out of the water. They're doing a really good job.
And Ronnie leans in and says, oh, yeah, I get a lot of those emojis from Roland during our council meetings.
They're a panic. They're a panic emoji, not they a are good panic news emoji. Emojis.
And now Moira is starting to panic. And she says, Jocelyn, the deal has to happen because it has to. There's literally no alternative in her mind.
She's desperate.
Decided, and she's gripping Jocelyn's wrists very tightly. And she tries to just like, think about something else. Let's turn our attention back to Grace. But she's already forgotten which one is Grace.
Points to this other lady. I'm not Grace. Yes, but you're not celebrating enough.
So awkward. This is also the scene I glazed over where she says it's the big red delicious as she's chopping up the cake.
Yes, yes.
Which is really cute.
What a great way to say it, though. I love it.
The big red delicious. Yep. So next we see David. He has made his way back to work, but not before stopping for a muffin at the cafe.
Of course.
Which he offers half of that to Patrick, who razzes him for taking so long. Could you have taken any longer on this break, basically? But David is delighted to tell him the big news. Patrick thinks, oh, they secured the deal. And he's like, no, but they are heading towards the meeting to secure the deal. And when the deal goes through, they're moving to New York. Which Patrick is confused about who they means.
Yeah.
And it's his parents and Alexis, which Patrick says, you seem awfully excited for your family to move away. But then David cuts in and says, well, we'd be moving with them. And this is when the episode takes the turn.
Yes.
Unsettling turn. This is when my anxiety just goes through the roof because we can see...
Don't you think like there's still a chance for David to blow this whole thing?
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Like,
absolutely. I'm on pins and needles because Patrick, you can see as David's going off on short list for apartments, Patrick is dumbfounded by this turn of events, which rightfully so, even if
as anyone would be,
even if he wanted to go to New York, like these decisions are being made without him. And he just doesn't know what to say. And you can see he's not excited by this. Their business is here in town in Schitt's Creek, and it would uproot their entire lives. He's just thrown for a major loop. And David is starting to pick up on this and tries to calm him down and say, well, the deal might not go through, but you can already see and Patrick can tell how much David does want to move back to New York. And it's very unsettling to watch. Mm-hmm. And David thought Patrick would be excited, which I'm like, why would you think that? What indication has Patrick given you
that he ever wants to live in New York or so much as visit for that matter?
Really? Yeah. And he offers him half the muffin, which I guess he already ate the other half. Patrick takes the muffin or half of it and leaves, which David thinks, well, is this a good sign? You at least took the muffin. But clearly he's overwhelmed and frustrated that David's making these major life decisions without him. And like I said, set in a lot of panic for me the first time I watched it, especially because it's giving me flashbacks to season one with the David Stevie storyline, where they think they're going to move back to New York and he asked Stevie to move with him, and just it caused this huge rift between them.
Yep.
And it's like we are literally on the brink of these two guys' happy ending, literally. And this feels like a major and potentially fatal wrench in their life plans.
It sucks
so unsettling.
What sucks too is that Patrick can see how excited David is. And I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's thinking, well, I don't want to squash this if he really wants this, but like, I don't want this. It's mm-hmm. crazy, like crazy yeah. scary.
I mean, there are things in a relationship that you can compromise and sacrifice for the other person, but this is a little too big to compromise or sacrifice for.
Or at least without a discussion.
Without a discussion. Yeah. And remember how Stevie felt like she was going to get caught up and left behind by David if she moved to New York with him? Mm-hmm. Like, I can totally see that being a real concern right. for Patrick as well. So back at the motel, lots going on with this family. Back at the motel, Maury calls Alexis and David in. She's starting to feel worried and feels like the kids weren't being encouraging enough.
You weren't supportive enough.
And Alexis says, I made him a card. And David said, I told him to take care. Like, what else do you want from me? But clearly the exploding head emojis are getting to Moira because she calls them over for a little like not prayer, prayer circle to send them some good energy. And they're almost like witches. She's like, children. And they get on their knees and their hands kind of keep levitating up from the ground as she's talking to whom it may concern.
This is one of what I said last week is one of my favorites. It's like them. Are we praying? And she says, don't be ridiculous.
But, you know, she goes into this really great speech, like tributing Johnny and like, he's trying to build back what they've lost and says how hard he's been working while we're just flailing about, which I love. Alexis and Dave are like, disagree. And, you know, she goes on to say how John, she calls him her macho man. He doesn't deserve another failure and they are all here for him and they want to send him good energy to make this meeting a success, basically. And I love how their hands are going upwards like it's a seance. And then at the very end, Moira tells Alexis, your hands are as dry as an autumn leaf.
Ew.
One more ew. Yep. One more for the road. So that's where we're going to leave off with Moira, Alexis, and David. They are trying to process. First of all, if anyone has jumped the gun, it's these three. But now they have to deal with the reality of like, it might not work out. And what would we do then? So I think this is a perfect time. We're already like 10 hours into this episode. We'll throw it to our sponsor and then we'll come back and we will fly via jet to New York to see how this meeting is going to go down.
Excellent. Are you an inventor or small business owner with amazing ideas but less than amazing cash flow? If you're ready to make your mark on the industry, then this week's sponsor is here for you. At Advantage Capital Association, their team of industry-savvy investors can help you take your idea from small-town staple to continental megacorporation. Whether you're looking to expand the reach of your gluten-free, net-zero emissions bagel business, or need seed money to kickstart your muffin empire, Advantage Capital Association can help you make your dreams a financial reality. So call them today and mention this podcast for a complimentary cocktail when you secure a private jet shuttle service to pitch your revolutionary idea. Thanks again to our sponsor, Advantage Capital Association, where your next pitch could be a home run.
And we are back. Thank you to our sponsor, Advantage Capital Associates, for sponsoring this episode. Hopefully we got a lot of sponsor money from them. They can afford it.
Thank you. But, you know, I was a little peeved that they passed on my crazy cat lady, cat tower MLM company. I was trying to build a franchise, be a boss babe, if you will, and sell to cat ladies under me. And they didn't think it was a great idea.
It was literally a cat tower pyramid.
Their loss. It was their loss. Oh. I just want you to know I secured financing from
that somebody else. Sounds as revolutionary as Uber. And they also passed on that.
They're missing all the good ideas. So, you know, we appreciate their sponsorship, but you really missed out on this one.
They did. Their loss. All right. We are now going to pivot to the Big Red Delicious.
The Big Red Delicious. My favorite city in the world.
Mm-hmm. Katie, you are running the New York Marathon. It's official.
I am. We did not say that on the air.
It's official.
Yeah. I told you in person.
You did.
But I did. It is official. I signed up. Lord help me. I will be running in November of 2024. It's the first Sunday in November. So if y'all are shitless fans living in New York and happen to want to track me, let me know.
And you are going the charity route. And what is the charity you're running with?
So the charity is Team for Kids. That is they're like gold level sponsor, and they are always a sponsor, and they have the best perks. I think I already mentioned this on air. Bathroom situation is good.
Oh yes.
Travel situation is good. Transportation to the star and some other
perks. That's all huge. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to raise $3,500 for Team for Kids, which is it's kind of part of the New York Roadrunners who puts the marathon on, but they fund this youth program to keep youth active and healthy and get them participated in things like that. So
yeah.
There are other charities. I would encourage anybody thinking of running to do so for a charity, because it's an easier way in than the lottery. Mm-hmm. And you could run for something you support. Yeah. And I was going to wait and see, okay, well, what else might there be? There are other things I might want to support. This is a good cause too. But the thing of it is that you can sign up for them with them year round. And I didn't want to miss out on my opportunity.
So I wanted to get in while you knew that.
Yeah.
You could.
I just wanted to get in while I knew that I could. And while I also,
before I backed out.
Yes. So I'm signed up. I officially have to register for the race yet, but I am guaranteed a spot. So,
well, exciting.
More on that. I will be in the Big Red Delicious soon. Hopefully, yes, I'll see. Maybe I'll see Ruth in her new adventure capitalist. Her adventure capitalist company, and maybe she can fund some of my charitable donations.
Hey, they've got $3,500 for sure.
Oh yeah.
Alrighty, well, let's take it to New York. Cut to our first time ever out of Elmdale County, I think, minus the first episode in the original mansion.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's an aerial view of Lower Manhattan, and the Rosebud team is sitting in a big corporate lobby waiting for their meeting. Stevie is very anxious, asks if private planes are always that bumpy, which I'm sure they are.
They're small.
They're small.
Yeah, they don't handle the turbulence as well, I don't think.
Johnny's trying to pep everyone up, saying, you know, I believe in us and our idea. And this company, he says them by name, Advantage Capital Association, would be lucky to have us in their portfolio, basically. Just then, a woman named Ruth comes down to introduce herself. She seems very nice and friendly. She's Mike Morrison's assistant and shakes hands with everyone. Roland is starting to get dehydrated, though. He asks for some water, and this is going to be his deal.
Will there be water where we're going?
This is his deal for the whole meeting, is just dehydration. And Ruth tells Johnny that Mike has been singing his praises, and she apologizes on his behalf that he couldn't make it to the meeting. He's in Johannesburg.
That's shocking news,
for a week. And this really sets things off for Johnny. He's caught off guard, and he even says, well, we could wait till he gets back, but no, he's gonna be gone a week. And Stevie's even making faces like, this is making them a little nervous. They didn't expect this curveball. They're gonna be pitching to total strangers now.
Yeah,
so there's no familiar face in the room for Johnny. And Ruth tries to settle his nerves a little bit, says how much she admired Rose Video, and growing up her family would go there all the time, and she loved that they gave away free popcorn. And then
what a great perk.
Yeah. She finally introduces herself to Stevie, who's standing there now very awkward. And poor Stevie, I cringe and relate to this so hard. She stutters her way through an awkward greeting. I like your offices. Like,
isn't that like the epitome of just small talk in general, though? Like, what do you say? So then you just say the stupidest thing.
I'm the queen of workplace stutters. It happens constantly. And I'm just like, oh, do I even know the English language?
Should I crawl in a hole and die now? Because
literally. Oh, Stevie. But Ruth is very like gracious and forgiving.
Yeah, she really
takes them up to the boardroom. And Roland offers Johnny a mint, which he declines at first. And then he thinks it over and he goes ahead and takes one. Roland, his dry mouth is getting worse as we speak. So now they enter the boardroom, and Ruth introduces them as Rose and Associates. And it's a bunch of, you know, classic New York uptight suit.
Oh, yeah.
People. Roy's from Succession.
Definitely.
Those kind
the
of
board.
People. The board.
Members of the board.
And Johnny tries to come in confident with a little joke, saying, well, it's nice to meet you all, but Mike's not here and we just met. So clearly he thought of that in the elevator ride up. Something to break the ice. These two guys on the right, their names are Bryce and Trip, are the main suits in the room. I think that Trip sort of looks like Ryan Gosling, don't you?
I guess I didn't notice. I'll have to go back and take a look.
Is also Canadian, by the way.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from Hamilton, Ontario. So, or London, Ontario, I think.
I have relatives that live in London, Ontario.
Do you? Interesting.
My mom's cousins on my mom's side.
Okay. Yeah, he's Canadian. Interesting. Tripp says he hopes the jet was Johnny Rose approved, but then makes a quick jab by saying that
Tripp is gross.
Coach is probably more Johnny Rose approved these days. And Bryce laughs and they kind of rip into Johnny, which Johnny, you know,
jerks,
has to put his pride aside, but gets real serious and says, you know, it could have happened to any one of us, but tries to keep gratitude by thanking them for the flight, which the two bros say was Mike Morrison's idea. He felt bad since he couldn't be here.
Johnny's a stand-up business guy in this entire episode and scene.
He really is. He's a class act, and you can see these young idiots, these trust fund babies, probably like
born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Exactly. These Roys. We'll just call them Roys. They're being
We're just gonna be the Roy family for now. Everything's succession related. Stay tuned for our next podcast. Yeah.
Literally.
So we only do podcasts about stinky little rich kids.
That is the common thread of all the shows we like. So Stevie saves Johnny by getting this pitch started. He calls her his COO, so Chief Operations Officer, I think is what that stands for.
Yeah, operating or operations.
So I don't think that we knew that that was her title, so that's exciting.
So I'm assuming that Johnny is CEO then.
Oh, obviously.
Chief executive, chief operating. What is Roland at this point?
He's custodial duties with some money as well.
Customer liaison or whatever he was Roland.
Yeah. Roland. Roland is standing there though, looking like he's going to pass out the entire time. He's looking so uncomfortable.
He's cutting off circulation to his brain because he is like...
Stevie starts the presentation and Johnny, you know, starts it with his pitch as well. No, actually, Stevie, I think, is the one who starts the pitch. She sounds kind of nervous, but it's going all right until the PowerPoint freezes and then they start panicking. Like, how awkward is that? The bros look super annoyed.
Can you relate to this as a college instructor? That's what I want to know.
Oh, my gosh.
Does your technology fail you all the time?
Like HDMI cable's not working, and it's just like, well, okay, I guess we're not going to look at the syllabus together. Like, what are we going to do now?
My friend Michelle recently took on an adjunct teaching position at Grand Valley here, and she said one night, she basically just said, okay, well, we can't do anything. Like,
yeah,
they had a lot of people had laptops, so she could do some stuff and do a PowerPoint on there, but she said it was so awkward.
Yeah.
And there is even an IT number to call, and they're like, oh, well, it's an evening class.
Yeah.
So they nobody's were like, oh, well, nobody's you. Here to help you.
Yeah. So
it's like, I cannot, I would die in that situation.
There have been times where I've like spent like hours making a PowerPoint only for the computer or the TV not to work. And I'm like, well,
what a waste of my life.
What a waste of that. Never mind, I guess.
God.
So, yeah. It's
frustrating.
It's awkward. And they all start panicking.
And of all the people for it to happen to, like poor Stevie.
And then Roland asks for some water, which he then spills the pitcher all over the table. It's just turning into a chaotic moment.
This whole time, though, Ruth is being like super sweet. She's like, it's
super
okay.
Sweet.
We'll clean it up. Like,
tries to reassure them it's fine. While the bros are like, well, let's take five. Like, clearly annoyed. Roland is dry coughing in the background. And suddenly this pitch is unraveling very quickly.
It's not going to plan.
Yes. Why did Mike have to go to Johannesburg? Seriously.
Fucking Mike.
So back out in a waiting room, Johnny's trying to give his team another pep talk. You know, we're here because we have not just an idea, but a great idea. And they should be lucky to have us, you know, getting everyone's head back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ruth calls them back in. And Johnny, he realizes he has to lead his team through this. We have to get our confidence back. And he marches in and he gives a great, strong
He does
pitch.
Give a great speech.
He gives a heartfelt, convincing testimony on how he used to think motels were these rundown, unsafe, unclean dumps until he and his family had to move into one. And he even includes a family photo in the presentation of them standing out front. And you can tell, and he says
how proud
he is that this is where they've been living for 3 years. And he's proud of this business and of this team. perhaps more than anyone else in the whole family, which is the thing that makes it so frustrating, that they are all envisioning their way out of this town. And Johnny is literally pitching to these bitches, these rich bitches,
about how great this town is.
It's like the anniversary dinner defense speech times a million, you know? He's doing amazing. And Stevie is watching the whole time. And you can tell she's
watching Johnny,
proud,
like, so proud
and happy
of,
with how he's delivering it. And then she chimes in. I love her line that they've seen a 400% increase in occupancy since they started marketing and cleaning. But if you think about where they started, 400%.
Yeah.
Could be just like four guests.
Right.
They were basically
they had the
nobody.
Rose. Okay, so think about the Roses took two rooms and there are 10 rooms. So even if they booked out the remaining eight, that would be a 400%.
That would be 400%. Exactly. That's clever math. So their pitch is that they're going to buy up 10,000 of these abandoned roadside motels across the North American continent, and they're going to revitalize them under the umbrella of the Rosebud Motel Group. And each one will be in a unique town with unique appeal, and it's going to feel like a great way to get immersed into these small town cultural experiences.
So let's think about this. So if we're thinking about Goodwood, where we went and scouted, hypothesizing that the motel is right down the street, this town actually does have some cute things. So we're talking the cafe, now the Rose Apothecary. Bob's Garage isn't really a highlight of
Anina's Butter Tarts.
Anina's Butter Tarts, which is not in the show, but it's there. So obviously you have to be smart about where you buy, because you want to have something like for the people to go to. You can't just, for example, I'm thinking of one on the way to Bad Axe where I grew up, and it is literally in the middle of nowhere. There is not a town nearby. That to me would not be a sell.
In a ghost
but
town,
if you could find it. In a small town like this, it would be perfect, right?
Or there's some like nature element,
a nearby attraction or a state park or something like that. So you got to you can't buy them all just because they're for sale.
Well, I think Stevie said there's like 250,000, like a quarter of a million. So they're going to focus on a tight 10,000.
Scale down and figure out the ones that are going to be best for your money.
Exactly.
I like this idea.
I do too. What's 10,000 divided by 50 states? 2,000? I don't know. 200?
Yeah.
I can't do math. Anybody know math out there? So that's a lot of hotels, though.
Yeah.
For North America. So Canada and Mexico.
Yeah, 200. That's 200 per state. That's a lot.
But include Canada and Mexico in there.
Okay. How much capital are they asking you for here? Because that seems like a lot. But I guess if they're all run down or in foreclosure, like.
Well, what's 10,000 times a million? A billion? Again, we're not mathematicians.
We're smart people, guys. I don't know. My calculator just gave me the 1E10. This just goes to show why we're not billionaires, because it's too big. We're not the 1%.
We will never own a private jet at this rate. Oh my God. I just flew Southwest and somebody was farting.
Oh God.
Somebody was farting.
Farty Artie was on her plane. I forgot all about that.
Farty Artie was on our flight. Gosh, I need to get into this business.
There's
so
no
fart parties
when you have a private jet.
No. Okay, there are definitely or not. So yeah, it's a big ask. It's a big pitch, but it's a great pitch. And I love how they end all together a tagline. Roland is even able to get his voice back enough to say,
where every stay feels like home. we did not nail that together.
Well, neither did they. But that's
okay.
Remember
when we tried to do the ding dong Christmas thing back and forth and the delay, like
the delay really
together.
Threw us off.
I think we'll never get anything together like that.
No, never.
It was a really good ending. Like, didn't you leave that room just feeling so empowered?
Well, even the faces on some of these
investors, they were shocked.
They looked impressed. You can see Ruth whisper to her colleague, I think this sounds great. And they are so giddy when they leave the meeting, and Roland even says, oh, I thought, Johnny, you would blow it, but I was actually impressed. And, He was so impressed. He forgot his briefcase in the room, which didn't have anything in it. He just brought it because Johnny told him to look. It's just a power move. Which this reminds me of in middle school, I had this eccentric classmate who would bring a briefcase to school every day. And we finally asked him what was in it. And it was just like loose leaf paper and a bunch of jumbo pencils.
I honestly thought you were going to say a trapper keeper. You remember trapper keepers?
I do. No, he had like a legitimate leather briefcase.
And he brought it to school. Wow.
Brought it to school. And then 4 years later, he streaked at our pep rally for homecoming. And then they canceled our all future.
You know what, Stephanie? He's probably got a private jet.
He's probably, he's a Roy for sure.
Oh boy.
So he forgot his briefcase. He goes back in to get it. And then this is when he walks in on the guys razzing Johnny's pitch.
Shit talking.
What next? You know, does he want to reinvent the pager? Like really making fun of him. And Roland, in probably the best move of Roland, the whole series, I think he calls him out for how they're treating Johnny, calls Johnny a legend and says, shame on all of you. But then quickly apologizes for his outburst because he realizes they are flying him home.
Please still fly me home.
But says he doesn't regret it. And yeah, like really defends Johnny to these stuck up assholes.
I love what he says too, because, you know, we know this already, but he said, do you have any idea what it took for him to come in here and ask you guys for help? Yeah. Which is so true. Like, screw you guys, you know? Mm-hmm.
And he would never say it to Johnny's face, but he will defend his friend.
And like Johnny said, but in the beginning, it could have happened to any one of us. It definitely could. In this day and age, you don't know who's sleeping with who, who's selling your stock secrets, who's doing all the something will get you.
Yes. And it just so happened to be Johnny that time. So back out in the lobby, Johnny says,
fucking Eli.
Really? God damn it.
Fucking Eli, the business manager.
I hope he's got like.
Sorry for the outburst.
Gout or a bad kidney or something out there.
Tropical fever in the Caymans or something. Yellow fever.
Stevie's. You know, and Johnny are down in the lobby waiting for Roland. And Johnny says, you did such a great job. You were right there when I needed you. You know, great teamwork. And Roland comes back with a briefcase. Johnny says, well, you know, let's use our free time to celebrate in the city before the car comes and picks us up. You know, and then we can pop some champagne on the plane, basically. But Roland, knowing what he's heard, says, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Johnny. And just then, Ruth comes down. And thanks, Johnny, for his pitch. Again, she's just so genuine and nice.
She's super sweet.
Totally different than the personality of everyone else in the room. And, you know, thanks him, but says the group is unfortunately not going to be moving forward with your proposal, which really, you can see Johnny's face has broken up. He's like, well, I guess that's it then. Like, it's over. You know, he was on such a high.
They were so confident about it.
And Ruth says the judgment of this team is clearly flawed, though, because she was in the room when they passed on Uber and your cat tree thing. Exactly. So clearly they're not the best decision makers. And she says, I shouldn't really be saying this on company soil, but me and a few junior partners are going to be starting our own firm next month. We've got the capital. We've got the team. And this is exactly the type of project we would love to get our hands on to get started. And Johnny, you can see, is a little unsure. Like, he wasn't in the room when these comments were made. But Roland
and Stevie both convince him.
You know, Ruth is the one to listen to here. You know, don't worry about Mike. Mike is in your past. Ruth is, you know,
she's the future.
She's the future. And I love how Roland says the people upstairs don't deserve to be in business with you, basically. Stevie's getting a good vibe from her as well. And Ruth offers to take them to lunch to hear more about the proposal. And Johnny looks like he's open to it. So that's where we leave off with the family in New York, or the business family, I should say. And then we have one final scene, like the moment of truth, back at the motel, coming full circle. They're back out front. Jocelyn is also with them waiting. And
having been at the motel, I liked this shot of them all sitting lined up in front of it. I loved it because I could just picture it, like,
I know,
as they're driving.
It's so different for me now. And so Sean even said, would you stay at a motel like that? And I said, I have been to that motel. What are you talking about? But yeah, they're out front waiting for the team to come back, all looking a little more nervous than they did in the morning. and Moira is listening, trying to hear the sound of their car. And David, who's sitting next to Patrick, but you can see there's some like emotional distance between them and they're a little on edge. You know,
there's an elephant in the room, basically.
He snaps. He's like, they'll get here when they get here, basically. And then suddenly the car pulls up and everyone's nervous to find out what happened. Johnny apparently insisted on telling them in person, and Moira says that this threat of failure is inhumane.
This is the kind of news you want to share in person, though.
This is. And I love how Jocelyn says, it's like Deal or No Deal, except with the rest of our lives.
With my real life.
Is it going to be one penny or $1 million? We'll find out.
That I cannot watch that show. Speaking of Deal or No Deal, I get so mad at how stupid people get and they walk away with nothing. Yeah. And I'm like, that serves you right. Like, this is my husband would be one of those people that would just keep going and we would be divorced because I would be like, we could have had $300,000, but now we have 10. Like,
exactly. This,
like, I can't watch it. It's too stressful.
Yeah. I used to watch that quite a bit. And then we had a little like handheld computer game where you would play and I would lose all the time. And as soon as I lose, I would just restart the game.
Like, that's fine. Like, when it's not real fucking money.
It's not real money. No. So Johnny gets out of the car and Roland and Stevie come around too. And Johnny, what an actor, has a very stoic face.
But then he plays somber.
Lets out the smallest grin and a little nod. And then the family just bursts out and screams of delight.
It's just like last week when they got the voicemail. Like, they're all just so excited.
But this scene is so hard because we have such high highs with the family running in for hugs. And even David, after Patrick kind of nods at him,
gives him an okay.
He goes in and gives Steamy the warmest, proudest hug and even says, like, you know,
you're a businesswoman now.
You're like a boss bitch. She is a boss bitch. If anyone is,
absolutely,
it's Stevie. And Patrick is just kind of standing in the background.
He's nervous. He's just nervous about what this all means.
He's feeling like he's getting left behind already. And it sucks to watch this happen. And you can tell he's unsure of what this means for him and Damon.
Yep.
It's such a mix of emotions from like pure delight and pride. Roland, who says it was him who secured the deal, which, okay, what universe, Roland? And then everyone's just over the moon. Cut to a family hug where they talk about, we'll pop open the champagne.
Champagne for everyone.
The last little bit we see is Patrick looking at David's face, and clearly he's got a
like very worried look on his
very
face.
Weird.
He's
look.
Very perplexed.
It leaves me with such a pit in my stomach, not
me
knowing
too.
How this
me
is going to play out.
This was one of the worst endings to the series episode.
I said
ever.
This is the most unsettling episode finale moment yet. Like, not even a cliffhanger.
Nothing
but, like,
has been like this
doomsday.
Uncertain.
Doomsday.
This and uncertain two episodes before the end.
And I think part of it too that I'm so uneasy is I still haven't gotten over Ted and Alexis. And I'm like, okay, that relationship fell apart and now this one's going to fall
what
apart
the hell?
Like, why are you doing this to us, Dan Levy? Like, oh my God, I can't handle it.
It's tough. It's a rough
one. It's so tough. But it's such a good episode too. Like, it is. Some monumental things happen.
Remember, this is another one from the season spoiler that they gave out when Johnny said, my family has stayed in this hotel for the past 3 years and I wouldn't trade it for anything. One of those warm and fuzzy lines they put, whoever edited that trailer for season 6, kudos, like all the good feels moments. Could that be our all the feels winner for the season, the trailer?
Really? Yeah. Honorable mention.
Yeah.
So that's where we're left off. This like crazy cliffhanger. And we've only got 2 more episodes left. Like, how is this all going to evolve? We'll have to find out next week. But in the meantime, Katie, I've got just a would you rather for you.
Okay. All right.
Would you rather live in a 2-bedroom apartment in New York City with your sister?
Oh.
Or.
What's the other option? Wait, which sister? Okay. I have either way. Okay, go.
Okay.
My sisters would you don't listen.
Or would you rather pitch to venture capitalists with Roland as your partner?
Okay, I'm going to pitch to venture capitalists with Roland as my partner. I get along with my sisters, but it's just they don't listen. They don't listen.
And in New York,
it's just like, what family doesn't have some kind of drama, even if you get
along. And you're
along.
Not going, like, to have any outdoor space. So how are you going to get away from them?
I lived in New York once, and it is stressful living with someone you love, like my dear husband, let alone with my sisters. So either one of them.
Yeah.
Side note, I do have a recurring dream that we are often trying to move back to New York, or that we have kept our apartment this entire time and just go back whenever we feel like it. And it's like, that would not be realistic to keep at that time, $1,300 a month apartment just as a side house.
Yeah.
Which is now probably like $2,500 or $3,000 a month.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
That was a very easy would you rather.
I figured it would be, but I was going to ask you nonetheless. All right, Katie, that is our episode. We're both very dehydrated.
I just saw some wine down the wrong tube.
A la Roland. All right.
Is there water where we're going?
I hope so. You are leading us next week.
So we are in the penultimate episode, which recently I thought was the final, but I realized it means the second to final. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense to me, but the penultimate episode, second to last episode of Schitt's Creek, where now we know this business deal went through with Ruth and her new team. So plans are going to be set in motion. And next week is a big week for everybody. We talked about earlier how these last two episodes are just kind of getting an honorary place on our list.
I was going to say next week's episode was a top contender for me.
I was adamant that we not use these last two episodes just because it would not be fair to pit them against each other, I think.
Yeah.
So next week, penultimate episode, we're spreading the news. It's called Spreading the News. We are literally spreading the news.
And you know what I love about that? I just figured out because I was singing Frank Sinatra's New York, New York.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Are they though? We'll find
I
out.
Want to be a part of it. New York, New York. You know when they start the New York City Marathon, they play all these like New York themed songs. That's a popular one. Cool. Yeah. That's a popular one. And then that Empire State of Mind one that was out, it was popular like 10 years, but it's like in New York. Concrete jungle.
That's a good one too.
Yeah, definitely good. So we'll see. They're gonna start making plans and we'll see how this resolves with David and Patrick, because as we said, it's very up in the air right now what's gonna happen here.
Terrifying.
But yeah, two really good ender episodes coming up. I'm really excited. So we are not in person next week, but probably probably for the finale. We talked about possibly
next week's
doing
episode
that in person,
will
right?
come out on Christmas Eve. And then the final episode will be New Year's Eve.
If we do we're going to do that in person, right? The finale in person.
We'll do the finale in person.
And then we're done before 2024.
Oh my gosh. Well, we still have to do our debate.
Aside from the special episodes, but
what a way to ring in the new year.
Ooh, what a crazy 2-year journey.
Seriously.
Good for us, Stephanie. I mean, you definitely steered the ship to keep going. There have been times that I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Not that I don't have fun, but I'm just like, oh God, just like, you know how
we're going to miss this though.
I am. I was just thinking today, I was like, what am I going to do on Thursday nights? I mean, tonight's Friday, but usually it was Thursday nights. Yeah. We'll just have regular phone conversations instead. Yeah.
And then you'll finish Succession and we'll start.
Then we'll start the next podcast. So anything we need to talk about this week, or should we not even bother?
Let's not. Cause we know. You guys can have the week off.
they can have the week off? We can have the week off.
It's for them.
It really is.
This was an emotional roller coaster. Yeah. We're not going to trouble you.
And we'll, of course, as always, share any news that we find throughout the week. And if you have anything you want to write into us about, please, please do so. So,
Have you ever cut into a cake that wasn't
for you? Have you ever smeared the frosting? That was another trivia question. Not at the trivia night, but on that online one I did the other day.
Oh, what was the name?
Like a long time ago. What was the name? Grace. So, guys, again, heading into the holiday weekend. So, next week we are on the penultimate episode and then one more to go after that. Mm-hmm. So, until next week, best wishes. And. say it, Stephanie.
Warmest regards.
We are unhinged.
That's okay.
Get us out of here.
They expect it at this point.
They do.
Fat Spatula.